Hello and welcome again to more verse-by-verse Bible teaching. This ministry of the is brought to you by The Wash and Word, Hand Car Wash. You know who we are. I won't spend a lot of time doing the commercial here. If you have any questions about the business or the ministry, I would direct your attention to the Wash and Word website. So you go to washandword.com. There you can download and listen to archived messages. You can find out all you need to know about the business and the ministry. I will invite you out on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. to Abundant Life Fellowship at 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill. It's over there adjacent to the community swimming pool. And Sunday nights at 6 o'clock is when I do my verse-by-verse Bible teaching, if you'd like to come out and join me. Speaking of joining me, let's get back into the verse-by-verse teaching. If you're sitting in the waiting room, we hope you're enjoying these messages. We should be done with your car shortly. And if you're not in the waiting room, you do know that you can hear these messages by tuning to 107.1 FM anywhere in the parking lot. That's the essence of this business ministry, is that you can hear the Word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by simply coming to the parking lot, tuning to 107.1 FM, and you can hear a word from God. So let's face it, we all need to hear from God once in a while, don't we? And we're not always going to find a church service that's taking place when we need to hear from Him. So come to the Wash and Word parking lot, or anywhere in the parking lot. You could be over at the library, or at the gym, or over by Pals. It doesn't matter where you are. As long as you're in the parking lot, you can hear by tuning to 107.1 FM. All right. Now, again, getting back to our scripture, we're in 1 John chapter 3. I read verses 1 through 10 in our last teaching, and we're just basically going back over that. And it's going to take quite a few messages to go through there, because there's some packed full stuff in there. And if you miss any of the messages, again, you can go to the washandword.com website, click on the media tab, and all of our messages are archived there, free to download and listen to. But in verses 1 through 10, it starts off great, where John is assuring us of our adoption. We are now children of God. And we left off yesterday in our last teaching by talking about how a child, especially a baby, has two influences that come from the parent. One is how they look, which is an uncontrollable it's an uncontrollable trait. We can't control how we look. We're going to look like our parents. That's just the way genetics works. It's the way God created it. God said, I create man in my image, and every man after that is created in the image of their parents. And that's fine. So there's an immovable characteristical trait of looks that we can't touch. But there's another trait that gets passed on from our parents, and that is how we act. And while it is a very strong influence, whereas we naturally pick up the traits and the characteristics of our parents, it isn't something that we have absolutely no control over. So we do have the ability to control or change how we act, react, or respond in any particular way. Again, even though the influence of our parents is very strong, it's not immovable, okay? And this is important as John sets the scene in verses 1 through 3. He's talking all about our position in Christ as sons of God. And it's a marvelous thing. So let me just start off by saying, as a creation of God, let me say, you look marvelous. You were created in His image, and thus you look great as a creation of God. But as a child of God, as an acting, thinking, moving, behavioral offspring of God, well, I really don't know how you look. You see, I'll let you be the judge of that. As a creation of God, you look great. As a child of God, well, that's up to you. And if I'm going to be blunt, using John's words, do you really even know God? So let's take a look a little bit closer at what John is saying before Christ and after Christ. Because if you remember in our last teaching, the only application point that we made was that the flesh and Christ are never more connected than they are after salvation. So, completely flying in the face of the Gnosticism that took place in that day, and the, one of the main purposes of this letter, which says the flesh and the spirit are separated and neither the two ever meet, John is saying, no, the flesh and Christ are never more together, are never closer than they are than after salvation. And so, in the words of John, verse 4, sin is lawlessness. He says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. That's fact number one. Fact number two, in verse 5, Christ came to take away our sins. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. That's fact number two. This is as straightforward as I could possibly give it. And then in verse 8, fact, sin is of the devil. Verse 8 says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Okay, that's just, again, John's words. But in verse 8, at the second part of that, Christ came to destroy the devil's work. So he who does what is sinful is of the devil, but the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And so what we have here is relatively rudimentary graft, but it depicts a very deep spiritual working. And to reconcile this difficulty of sin and the believer, we again have to refer back to verse 1. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us? Not that we will be called children of God, but he says that we should be called children of God. It's something that has already happened. It's something that is unconditional. It is part of the AC process, the after Christ salvation. We don't work our way to become children of God. We don't act a certain way to become. We become a child of God. We automatically, we have no power over the fact that we now look like God as children, right? But again, the behavioral patterns. Well, we are no longer a child of the devil. We are now a child of God. So our new father, our rightful father, should be the greater influence in our behaviors. But if you remember back in the last teaching, we said there were three things that alter this. One is bad theology or distorted theology. And the other one was bad teaching. And the third one was flesh. And while we can't do anything about this flesh, we can do something about the bad teaching and the false theology. And so we are now unconditionally children of God. How great is the love lavished upon us. So this standing that we have in Christ as his child is a gift. It is a given. It is a gain. But this behavioral part, again, though we are accountable to our actions, behaving like God is not so freely given. So you know as well as I know that after Christ, we are not freely given the inability to sin like Jesus or like angels. We are not freely given the inability to think, act, or respond apart from God. We are not robots. On the contrary, as we read in verse 6 and verse 8, and in verse 9, well, those verses make us shudder a little bit. And, you know, we just read them, so I'm not going to go over it again. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. That's just verse 6. And he mentions other things that are right along those lines. And that makes us shudder. Because when we look at our lives, we say, well, I'm still sinning in certain areas. Do I even know him? Because if I read John's word for what they are, and listen, if you've been following along in John, there's no mincing of his words. They are as clear and plain and as black and white as you're ever going to find. And if that is true, I've got a problem. Because his word clearly says, for example, in verse 9, that no one who is born of God will continue to sin. Darn it, I'm still sinning. Am I not born of God? And then again, we have this battle that begins to take place in our minds. We read these words and we say, how can these words be an encouragement? They're a condemnation. They're a cause of spiritual spiraling into depression. We shudder and we cringe at the truthfulness of these verses, and it shakes us to our very saved core. And so there must be a logical explanation for sin in the life of a believer, and there must be a logical explanation for the words that John is speaking here, other than the fact that they are as plain as he is speaking. And there is, so we need to back up. Because we see it in verse 2. He says, dear friends, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we will be like him, for we shall see him. We'll know that when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. All right. This is the only comfort I can give you in 10 verses of very concise black and white scripture. And that is, we aren't there yet. We aren't there yet. Listen, the fullness of Christ is a future gift. Being a child of God is a present gift. It is a present given, and it is a wonderful inclusion in the family of God. But being Christ-like, being in the fullness of Christ, is a future gift. Now, we do have his attributes right now. We do have his example, this is Christ, right now through the Word. We even have Christ's power in us by way of the Holy Spirit right now. But we will not be like him fully until we meet him. And that is the only comfort that we can find in these verses. Because again, there is never, and I do not use the words never and always in my preaching lightly, and I hardly use them if I can help it, but there is never an excuse for sinful action. And it will never hold up in the high court when the books are opened. However, what we just read in verse 2, does explain a few things. Does it excuse them? Absolutely not. Does it explain them? Does it at least get us off of the spiral into depression and despair of the other verses we read about our sinful behavior versus our salvation and our knowledge of God? Yes, it gets us out of that spiral. But that is just a start. Because John, like, how can John say, if I still sin, I never knew him? Or if I have been born again, I cannot sin any longer. John cannot say those words and expect us to remain steadfast, strong, and not go into this mind battle. Listen, and I'm going to end with this. And we kind of touched on it in our last message. You look like God as a creation, but it is up to you to act like God as his child. I'm going to say that again because I know it's good. You look like God as a creation, but it is up to you to act like him as a child. This is the biggest difference, BC and AC, before Christ and after Christ. Because after Christ, we now have the power and the ability to change our actions. Before Christ, we did what the sinful nature told us to do. We were incapable of doing anything other than that. And so with this power comes responsibility, to use a stereotype quote, but with great power comes great responsibility. And this is where we're going to have to pick it up in our next teaching. If you look like, you do look like God as a creation, but it is up to you to act like him as his child. So let's analyze our lives. Let's start getting serious about some of the stuff we've been excusing. Huh? Can we do that? If we can do that, maybe we can start getting on with this walk we call Christianity. Well, once again, join me at the Washing Word. If not, I'll see you Sunday night at 6 o'clock at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road. Until then, any questions, simply go to washingword.com. Have a blessed day.